The Spotlight. It's a radio show where volunteers share stories of inspiration, share their journey, express their feelings, and tell us all about those who have touched their lives. And we play their favorite music. It is The Spotlight with Lebo, Fridays 2 to 3 p.m. on Radio Morocco.
Hello and welcome to The Spotlight on Radio Mirai. The Spotlight is all about the stories of the amazing things. The Spotlight brings you the stories of amazing people who have interesting journeys to share with us and their journeys of volunteerism. My name is Irene Lasu and I am your host for the next hour. Well, my Spotlight appearance this week is Deputy Commissioner Naftal Zakaria, an UNPOL police advisor from Juba Field Office. He is currently on a quick return and is serving as team leader for community policing and GCVPP team. Before his quick return, he served as a deputy POC coordinator for Juba Field Office, and this is his third UN peacekeeping mission. Zakaria, welcome to the Spotlight.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Yes.
And it's nice to have me, and good day to your two listeners.
Right. So tell us a little bit about yourself. I know I have tried to introduce you, but just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you very much. My name is Naftal Lungameni Zakaria. I am a Namibian police officer, a deputy commissioner by rank, and I served 24 years in the Namibian police, and I'm married with kids. And basically, like you have said it, this is my second return mission here in Juba. I was based here in Juba the first time around and this time around too.
Right. So what is it that attracted you to becoming a UN police officer?
You know, as a career policeman, as a career police officer, you develop the passion, you know, to serve the people. And the idea that somehow you can contribute to make humanity a better, and world a better place. Mm-hmm. So that would basically it.
Wow, and what a way than in the police department. So was there a catalyst for that?
Yes, you know, Namibia is a child of international solidarity. My country went through a prolonged struggle for independence, armed struggle, and eventually we got our independence in 1990. And I was born in the northern part of the country, and this was mostly the battleground, mm-hmm. the area where the war was mostly taking place. So we were displaced as a family from time to time. And at some point we really like lost everything. And it was devastating. However, the with this struggle, eventually there was a UN resolution. I still remember it, 435 resolution. And prior to 1990, before the independence, then there was a UN mission in Namibia called the UNTAG, in short, for United Nations Transition Assistance Government in Namibia. And I was 15 years old then.
Oh, dear. Just a teenager.
Yes, and I'll look at these officers in blue and how they wearing their UN beret. Mm-hmm. And I liked that, and I was impressed. At some time, point, we chased after the UN vehicles and just to say hi and to wave to them. And if they wave back, that was really good and inspiring and so on.
Yeah.
So, and surely I then went... I went as far as starting to, when I was now in school, to inquire about how to become a police officer. And I have that in the back of my mind about how to become a police officer and one day maybe serve as a United Nations police officer. Mm-hmm. So that's basically pushed me through, and then here we are.
Wow, and here you are today.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, so, we give you a chance to listen to give us your favorite music. So let's just have some music. Tell me about the first track that you have chosen for today.
All right. Today, I would like to choose my first music would be One Nation mm-hmm. by Queen Z. She's South Sudanese.
Okay.
And I listen to that music and it's...
All right, it's impressive for a Namibian to choose a South Sudanese song. I mean, to tell me about this song, like what stands out for you?
Exactly. I mean, she speaks about unity as a country that's rampant by conflict and a lot of trouble, really, to have this kind of approach, a musician playing a role into trying to send out a message that we are one nation, and that is exactly what strike me about this song.
Right, and One Nation by Queen Z it is. Right, welcome back. This is The Spotlight, and our spotlighter this week is Zakaria. Zakaria, we are profiling his amazing journey in volunteerism. Yes, what was your first moment of serving in peacekeeping operations?
Like I've said in the beginning, this is my third UN mission. I have a fourth one with African Union in Africa. I first served in UNMIT, United Nations Mission in Timor-Leste.
Okay.
It's an Asian country that had went through trouble for over a long time. The dynamics were different, of course, but it was a conflict. And that was the first time I served. I was immediately stunned by the idea that people from the same country, the same people could have
would such do bad things to
level
each other.
Of yeah mm-hmm. of hate and
yeah.
so on.
And it beats everybody's understanding.
Yes, it's shocked me mm-hmm. when because that was actually my first time. Because remember, the conflict in Namibia was different. It was between Namibians and somebody else mm-hmm. from outside. But
right.
this was people, the same people. So I was excited to be part of the mission. And being my first mission, of course, it was a combination of emotions mm. and expectations, mm. uncertainty, fears,
yeah,
and so on.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yes.
Yes. So tell me about your most memorable moment as a UN police officer.
Well, there are quite a few moments, but the most striking is when I visited Timor-Leste. You know, I after serving up to 2 years there, and then... I left in 2009, yes. Mm-hmm. So 2017, I took a holiday to Bali, Indonesia. It's okay. a beautiful island.
Right. Did you go with your family?
No, I was in the mission.
Right.
So I just flew over for relaxation.
Okay.
Of course, I took the family somewhere else later at some point.
Nice. Okay.
But what was interesting is that Bali is so close to Timor-Leste. So I decided to cross over to go to East Timor, to Dili, which is the capital city of East Timor,
mm-hmm.
just to see how the progress after the UN mission ended there in 2012. So I wanted them to see just how they're doing since I was so close, and, mm-hmm. and to see a few friends that I made when I was there, of course. So it was very, very interesting, and I think that was the most moment I realized that my contribution to how people of that country were living,
mm.
doing about their daily job normally with no problems, and the developments and the city has gone through.
Right.
It's amazing in a short time how you could move forward if you forget about conflict mm-hmm. and move on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was memorable.
All right. So, I mean, being separated and this thing that you feel when you leave your country and family behind, has the absence of your family affected you?
I mean, family is vital. At the time, you miss them. You miss home, but at least they have a roof over their heads.
Mm.
They have a meal.
Yeah.
This is a sacrifice for the greater good. We are provided with leave days, so we can always visit home to be with our families. But it's they with me they are a bit used to because from
you
time to time I go and serve and come back.
Right.
When I'm around, we make maximum use of the
of that little time.
Of this
right.
Time.
Yes. Wow. All right. So let's go for a second break. What's your second track?
My second track, let me see. I'm thinking of Bob Marley, something reggae.
Which
Bob
song
Marley,
in particular?
Africa Unite.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, so you have a thing about uniting Africans.
Yeah, it is really, I mean, think of it, you know, we
yeah.
need to move as a
into
continent.
That direction.
Yeah, into that direction.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, and I hope you do enjoy it.
We're moving right out of Babylon, and we're going to our father's land. Yeah, how good and how pleasant it would be before God and man, yeah, to see the unification of all Africans. Yeah, as it's been said already. Children of the
Welcome back. This is a Spotlight with me, Irene Lasso, and my spotlighter for this week is Zakaria. Well, Zakaria, and then you came to South Sudan. What was the feeling the day you arrived?
We have said, this is my second mission in South Sudan. So the day I arrived first time around, I had hope. I was aware of the politics and the background to the conflict. But again, the uncertainty, the anxiety, need for security immediately strike on landing, just on landing.
Like you were very ready, you had done your research.
I knew I have to look around to check it out and to see what transpired prior to my arrival.
And being from different missions, you actually knew what to expect, right?
Yes, I knew back of my mind that you cannot expect
it's
something
specific.
It's
not a bed specific. Of roses.
Yes, it can be anything.
Okay. Yes. So what recollections do you have about your first day as UNPOL in South Sudan?
This is the most interesting part because the first day was actually not a problem. Okay. But what was to follow after that?
What followed?
I landed in South Sudan on the 7th, I think. Yeah, 7th? Yeah. Hmm. And if I'm not mistaken, on the 8th, the clashes, these gunshots, these conflicts.
Imagine, you're very
all
new
over
in,
again.
In,
I'm
in
new.
In South Sudan. And you land in hot soup.
I'm
so,
telling
yes,
you,
tell
no induction, no radio. We were not even issued with radio, so we could not communicate on hand radios to hear what was going on. Mm-hmm. No PPE, no protections.
And you're just closing doors in the camp.
And this was quite an experience to remember for the rest of my life, I think. So That's how it all went down.
Wow. All right, so you served twice with UNMISS already in such a short time. Can you just take us through that experience?
All right. The first time around, after the clashes, of course, we started immediately working with the IDPs here in Tomping. There were a number of people who came in through looking for safety. We have to get involved immediately. Then I spent the next 6-7 months, around 7 months, working in the POCs and the two POCs in Juba. And I later became team leader for the teams in the POCs and eventually the deputy POC coordinator. So then I checked out in July 2018. And one day I was called in by my supervisor and said, "What is it that you done in South Sudan?"
To mean what?
I was shocked. Okay. I was like, "No, but sirs, I was not never what." No. Tell me.
Oh yes.
Because I have a request for you here to return back to South Sudan.
Imagine you were trembling, thinking you did something wrong.
Yes, it was that news
for you
that came in that I have another chance to be part of the process.
Right.
And then I returned back to South Sudan in April this year. And now I'm serving in Juba Field Office as a team leader for community policing and the GCVPP, Gender, Child and Vulnerable Person Protection. So I am also the contingent commander of the Namibian contingent, which is here. We are a total number of 16 people in total.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Zakaria, we're happy to have you back.
It's a pleasure.
So in a nutshell, what does community policing in entail for you?
Community policing is a philosophy. It's a proactive policing approach to bridge the gap between community and police. You know, it's different from from time to time and from area to area. It is about creating or improving relationships. It's about identifying problems and solving them together with the community. And in the end, of course, it's all about making the rest of the police work easy for everybody with the community.
Right. Yes. So, how has life changed by serving as UNPOL?
Serving as UNPOL impacted my life in a big way.
Okay.
Apart from being, it's a childhood dream. Remember my little story about running after UN vehicles
in
1990. So I'm now more compassionate and more empathetic about humanity.
Mm-hmm.
I have also gained experience as a police officer. I mean, interacting with different people at this level. From different countries and organizations. It, of course, also has an economical impact. UNPOLs, we are given an allowance to sustain yourself, basically, in the mission area.
Mm-hmm.
And that can also go a long way in a police officer's life. As I always say, policing is a calling. Monetary reward is not a priority, or should never be a priority in a police officer's life.
That's a good attitude.
Otherwise, if you put that first, you may fail to serve. You will never be a good police officer.
Right. Yeah, you may end up being corrupt because of the love of money.
Straightforward.
Right.
It's more about sacrifice. Yes.
Indeed. And thank you so much for sacrificing.
Thank you.
All right. So let's have some music. Tell me about your next track.
All right. My next track, I'm thinking, I think I'm too old school, so let me try something new.
We can handle old school.
John Black.
Oh, John Black. Which song?
Tukwadagane.
Aha, that's one of my favorite too. All right, John Black it is.
All right.
African Robert. Ebya manzina kuzina ngaganyuma baryabalala byobazina zebimbo kanamba kunze matukamba dance bana yante simanyo banzubolo kukafuna ya a smartphone Samsung zikuwa kapuza kafana ni selfie twakubye me love you when you put it on me, you put it on me, your body soft girl ulinga baluni ya holy romantic kuza research buli musajja mukibuga kuli nako crash sibali bafachi pasto ba achi bonna bagala kukebera risachi yome yo namba tukwatagane yome yo namba gwe tukolagane yome yo namba tukwatagane yome yo namba ge aya bas tukone 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 kitinge I know your ex woman gambe ntikalian so bido 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 yeah mbona ya baby na yate akasente don't worry yeah give me your number to kwatagane give me your number go to kolagane give me your number to kwatagane give me your number girl aya bas to connect 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 to connect
All right, welcome back. This is a Spotlight with me, Irene Lasso, and my spotlight for this week is Zakaria. Yes, Zakaria, your life then is a sort of obsessive drive against normality, and you're speaking about your love of serving into the police. Does that mean that sometimes you're attracted to doing some things that are rather conventional, or are you never naturally attracted to the conventions of life?
Yes, but I am a policeman, so a career policeman. 24 years of services.
Wow.
It's really not a joke, you know. And adaptation is one of my strong characteristics that I have to develop over time. At some point you develop thick skin from time to time. You're exposed to different situations. So I can manage orthodox and unorthodox situations.
Mm.
And also I'm lucky to be a negotiator. So I use some of my skills
to
handle
your way
different
out and
situations handle different situations.
So, I think I can pick a leaf from there.
Yeah.
Okay. So how does the prospect of being an on-pole in often hard conditions suit you?
So let's say the first mission was perhaps a challenge. Now in my fourth mission, mm-hmm. third mission with the UN, I am accustomed to this kind of working environment, so to say. So, like I earlier said, I would then try to tap from my experience and apply when it's applicable. And it's a big family.
Mm.
You have a whole bunch of good people behind you and supporting you and pulling in one direction. Like in Africa, we say Harambe.
Mm. To mean what? To some of us who may not
Harambe
know that slogan.
Harambe, Kiswahili, meaning pulling in the same direction.
Oh, okay. So
oh, yes.
It's synergy.
So, yeah,
okay.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Yeah. So this is my favorite part. If you were stranded on a desert island, what luxury would you take with?
Is there a network on that island?
No, there's no network.
That would have been so easy. I would have just grabbed my mobile and then
okay. So let's say all factors constant. Let's say there's network. So you're with your phone.
Oh,
what
yes.
would you be using your phone for the internet?
With my phone to communicate. I will still be everywhere.
No. You will not be stranded.
Let's remove the network.
Yes.
But again, then I'm a good swimmer. I'm a scuba diver, and I would easily live on the island and just enjoy the moment. It's not a bad idea,
imagine.
Actually. Come to
you,
think
you
about
would,
it.
You would instead be on a vacation.
I would.
Not
that would be a vacation.
Per se.
And, I'm a good hunter. I'm an African man. I would find something to eat, obviously.
Okay. So clearly, this is the wrong question to you. All right. So tell me about your next piece of music.
All right. Let's see. What am I thinking?
Mm.
Let's look at track by a combination of African artists.
Mm-hmm.
I Love My Africa by Tiwa Savage, Davido, and
the
whole
rest
lot
of them.
Of,
okay.
of them. Yeah,
I Love My Africa too. Yes. All right, and I hope you do enjoy it.
Thanks.
See the whole world be looking at us, yeah, cause our land is honey, all the future money, and see na, see Akijima, no, I see Lali, see Atandi Mali, they want it, yo, they need it, I man, we have it, yes, let the world come and taste this beautiful land, they want it.
Everybody.
Mr. Zakaria, thank you very much for letting us hear your story on Spotlight here on Radio. Now, listener, thank you so much for tuning in, and do not forget Spotlight also airs on Saturdays 8 p.m. to 9. Thank you to our producer Martina Gross and the technical team. This is the Spotlight. And my name is Ivan Yosuf. Welcome back. The Spotlight with me, Irene Lasso, and my spotlighter for this week is Zakaria. Well, Zakaria, what are the people that have been so influential in your life?
I would say the there would be quite a number of people, but like I've said earlier, Namibia has gone through a prolonged armed struggle, and it is during those days that heroes emerged, and there were people that we looked at up to for inspirations and for hope. And I would immediately mention our founding father, Dr. Sam Nujoma, who's the Namibian founding father, played a big role in most of us, especially myself, something that you would come to think of as in the situation I am now, serving here. It is that kind of attitude that he had when during the struggle to manage to strike deals and to pull the country together and try to put us through a period of transition and to enjoy peace up to today, and about 30 years now, and it's a peaceful country.
Wow.
So I would say Dr. Sam Nujoma.
Okay. Yes. All right. And well, describe to us your relationship with the community you work in.
Right. Like I've alluded to in the beginning, I spent so much time in the POC. So that's the community that we mostly serve, because the community policing has got two pillars. We have the headquarter that serves at a bigger where they go into the whole country and the communities. And the Juba field office, we are more confined to our area of jurisdiction,
right,
which is include the POCs. And having served there, I established relationship with the community that we are serving. So I would say we have a very, very good, I made friends. I would be able to, even when I went home, I had calls. People wanted to know, how are you doing? How's family? And that's amazing, you know. People have that confirmation they got to know you at that level. So we mobilize communities through different activities, sports, and so on. So we have a very good thing going.
All right. So what's your favorite sport?
Football.
Okay. Isn't it just obvious? Most men love
Manchester
football.
Manchester United.
Okay. I'm a Manchester United fan.
Yes,
too, so
you know. I
that makes
so.
The two of us.
Yeah. No matter, this interview is so easy.
Okay. So how have your parents dealt with your career and success?
Okay, my dad passed on when I was a small boy.
Oh, dear.
When I was around 9. And my mom was there all the way. And she also passed on 4 years ago now.
Oh.
Yes, but I'm sure she left a happy woman. Because I had an opportunity to take care of her, even when she was eventually sick, I was there to really care in every way I could. There was no way to pay your mom back.
There's no way.
No, you can try, but
no.
I'm sure there were good moments with her, especially.
Okay,
I remember when I first bought my car. And I took it to home, to the village.
Okay.
And she lived like 600 kilometers from where I worked. So I went with the vehicle.
Okay.
And when she heard it was mine, she sat in front and nobody could sit there.
Come on, she's reaping
not
her sweat.
Not my wife, not my kids.
Because she's sowing what she reaped.
She told them, this is now my son's car. So we drove around and then eventually I'm sure we had very good moment and good memory with my mom. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
So, and what about your father? I mean, I know he passed on when he was a little young, like 9 years is actually a toddler. What sort of father was he when you were too little?
I still have a vivid memory about my dad because of war and work. I didn't have to see him so often.
Mm-hmm.
So he worked in the mines. Mm. It was like 600 kilo, like
same
I say,
distance with your mom.
From our village, and he would come. And I remember that every time he comes, he would slaughter a cow and he would invite family and the village people would come. And then we would sit there and the feast. And it was fun. But one thing I remember about him for sure, he loved singing. Oh, he used to preach also. And we would go to church. That was not negotiable.
So he was a preacher.
He was a preacher, and we sang throughout the night whenever he's around. And that
why
really
are you why are you saying church was mandatory? Whether you liked it or not? Didn't you know you were supposed to be at church?
I mean, as a good Christian, a good Catholic, young, I needed to do a few things sometimes,
okay.
But I have to. To be in church.
For as long as you were under his roof, you were supposed to be in church.
And I had a role in church, so they made sure that I have to be there, because otherwise who would perform my role? I would feel guilty if I don't go. But I don't regret. It's played a very good part in me, and it's actually contributed to who I am in a big way today.
Right. Yes. Wow, that's good. Did he ever beat you?
Oh, my dad, no.
Okay.
But my mom.
Oh, tell me about it.
You know, we are Africans, and it's a pity today people take it in different way how you discipline your children.
Yeah.
Can you spank them or can you not? Or how far can you go?
Mm.
But one thing for sure. Parents then knew exactly up to what level of discipline they should go. We got good hidings from time to time, yes.
And good spankings, yeah?
Yeah, for sure.
So what would you have been if you hadn't become a police officer?
A radio presenter.
Oh.
And not because you support Manchester United. It's a passion. I had it in me, really.
Okay.
Yeah, I would have tried.
And sitting behind the mics and having these headphones on your head, how do you feel?
I miss it. I mean, I remember at high school, I used to play some drummers, and I used to go over to the radio state studio to record. Those were some good moments.
Okay.
And I think it's coming back now. Me
so
sitting
this,
here, I
this
feel
this should
good,
add
you know?
To the bucket list of the good moments.
It should. It's definitely.
All right. Okay, so are you happy with how you've spent your life? Can you just look at it to the point of 50 and think, yeah, time well spent?
You mean in the studio now?
No.
Oh, okay.
Your life.
I wouldn't change a thing. Yes, nobody's perfect. We all have our issues from time to time. But it's all about how you overcome those, how you deal with different situations, how you keep your life together. And I think I'm proud of what I have came to become so far.
Right. All right, so let's break. Tell me about your next track.
All right. Music is my life. Let me try a song by Salif Keita.
Okay.
Africa.
Oh, Africa. All right.
Oh, my Africa.
Oh, my Africa. Yes, it is. I hope you do enjoy it. Welcome back. This is The Spotlight with me, Irene Lasu, and our Spotlight appearance this week is Deputy Commissioner Naftal Zakaria and On-Poll Police Advisor from Juba Field Office. Yes, Zakaria, every Spotlighter is given a chance to choose a book. On what book would you like to read in the fields?
Facebook.
Oh, is that a book?
All right. I'm currently reading a book called My Life with a Criminal.
Okay.
And the story setting, it's amazing, really. It's a 1989 novel by a Kenyan author, John Kriamiti. So it is a story about a girl who fell in love with a gentleman she met.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all a big lie. So he was not who he was, and so it's a deep story about how you should see things and how you should be careful about yourself and others, so that you do not become a victim of situation or circumstances.
Yeah.
So nice book. I'm halfway, and normally I would take months to finish a book, and I started this book and I'm already
so how long about, did this take
about,
you
it's I'm a third day into the book, and wow. I'm almost at the end.
Wow. So it sounds interesting.
Yes, very I don't want to stop. Sometimes I sleep late because of this book.
Wow.
Yes.
As you follow the turn of events in the book, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Zakaria, thank you very much for letting us hear your story on The Spotlight here on Radio Mirai.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure for having me, and a good day to your listeners.
A good day to you. Now, listener, thank you so much for tuning in, and do not forget that The Spotlight also airs on Saturdays, 8 p.m. to 9. Thank you to our producer, Martina Brooks, and the technical team. This is The Spotlight, and my name is Irene Lasu. Stay tuned.
The Spotlight. It's a radio show where volunteers share stories of inspiration, share their journey, express their feelings, and tell us all about those who have touched their lives. And we play their favorite music. It is The Spotlight, Fridays 2 to 3 p.m. on Radio Mirage.